Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
It's time to get in the Word of God. Thank you, River Worship. Don't go far. You guys are coming back out. Oh, man, River. I tell you, I know preachers say this all the time, that they're excited to bring you a word. But God has been stirring something up in me that I cannot wait. And I just pray I can show it to you like he showed it to me. It's something that has really changed my life. And I pray it can do the same for you. So we're going to jump right in. I don't want to waste a single moment that we have together. We're going to jump right in. Would you help me? And would you choose a neighbor? Any neighbor. No games tonight. Choose a neighbor. Any neighbor. Let me see you. Pick your neighbor. You got your neighbor? Say neighbor. No, no, no. You're preaching now. You're preaching now. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
No, say it like you believe it. I'm anointed. Now, listen real close. Look to your other neighbor, the one you just ignored. That was rude. You haven't been making any eye contact with them. You don't even know who they are. And repeat, say, I'm anointed. And I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed. River, did you know that you can be anointed and annoyed at the very same time? Sister said, oh yeah, she's got a testimony. I feel like half of my life, this is the dichotomy that I struggle between. I know I'm anointed. God's got a plan on my life. But man, am I annoyed. Maybe some of you, the main source of your annoyance is sitting right next to you tonight. If that's the case, just keep your eyes locked on me for the rest of this message. Do not look left and do not look right. What are you doing, bro? Don't do that. Anointed, but annoyed. This term anointed, you know, we use it a lot in church. It's good Christianese. You know what I'm talking about? Church people speak. Oh, man, the anointing on her. Did you hear her voice? What an anointing. Wait a second. Voice? Anointing is not a talent, my friend. Did you hear his communicative ability? Wow, anointing. No, 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 no. That's a talent. That's a skill. That's something you develop over time. That's not an anointing. See, when we reduce an anointing to that, we start comparing what they have and what we've got and go, wait a second, am I not anointed? Because they're so anointed, he's so anointed, she's so anointed, and am I not anointed? So I just want to talk to you for a minute about what it means to be anointed. Here's what the Bible means when it says you are anointed. To be anointed is to be set apart for a holy purpose. Amen? Amen? Got some church people in here? Amen? It means to be set apart for a holy purpose. Every single one of you in this room, you are anointed. The minute that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became anointed. You got set apart from this world, and a holy purpose was assigned onto your life. Whether somebody put oil on your forehead or not, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's great. You are anointed. We are all anointed. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is with us. God declares this over your life. Jeremiah 29:11. We love preaching on Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Anybody like that verse? You can give the Lord praise. To prosper you, not to harm you. A hope and a future. We're all anointed. But if you're anything like me, oh, this is me. At times you are also very annoyed. At times, you don't feel anointed. You just feel a lot more annoyed. And there are lots of things that annoy us in this life. Like I said before, some of you might be sitting next to them right now. I can tell you that is not my story. This woman of God right here, my wife, Lindsay, she is not the annoying one in this relationship. I can just tell you that. I know I'm annoying, okay? I actually think it's kind of fun to annoy her. I annoy her day in and day out. She is not the annoying one. But I'll tell you, probably the most annoying thing about being married to me, Lindsay, you tell the people if I'm preaching truth. Probably the most annoying thing about being married to me is that I'm always annoyed. Sometimes she's like, hey, like, are you ever happy? Like, is there something that's not annoying you by chance? I get annoyed easily, and it's something I need to work on. I don't say that proudly, but I'm not perfect. Just because I'm preaching to you doesn't mean I'm perfect. I get annoyed. And there is something that annoys me more than anything else. And I wonder if there's anyone else in the room that has the same annoyance. You know what annoys me more than anything else? Waiting rooms. Anyone here like waiting rooms? Ew. What? Why? Give you free snacks or something, bro? I don't like waiting rooms. I hate waiting rooms. I'm an impatient person. I'm a problem-solving kind of person. I plan out my day, and I want to execute. I want to go from A to B and C and get it done so I can go home and watch the Leafs lose another game. That's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm a problem solver. I want to go. So waiting rooms terrify me. Any impatient people here in the room like me, bold enough to say you're impatient? Wow, look at all you patient folks with your hands down. I'm just perfect in the eyes of the Lord. I wait on the Lord. He shall renew my strength. I shall mount up on eagles and soar. Okay. But to the impatient people like me that are in the room, look, I hate waiting rooms so much, I would rather limp around on one working leg than go to the doctor's office because I know I'm going to have to wait when I go to the doctor's office. I despise waiting. I'm the kind of person that at 8 a.m. in the morning, I leave my house and I drive to Tim Hortons and I will see three cars in the Tim Hortons drive-thru. And I say, not today, Satan. You're not coming for me today. Three cars? Are you kidding me? I need to get to work. I know. I'm crazy. Why am I preaching to you? But I'm impatient. I don't like waiting. Some people are gifted with the gift of patience. That is my wife. It's disgusting, frankly. You know, thank God our toddler has her. You know, he throws yogurt at her and she's like, I love you, Maverick. I'm like, dude, throw that again and we're gonna throw hands. I'm kidding, I wouldn't do that. But I'm not gifted with patience like she is. I don't like to wait. Anyone else that doesn't like to wait in the room, you can be honest, you just don't like to wait. Then this message is for you tonight. And those of you that are perfect, it's for you too. See, you can be anointed and you can be annoyed at the same time. And what could possibly be more annoying than having to wait to see your anointing? What could possibly be more annoying than knowing God has a plan and a purpose for you, believing Jeremiah 29:11, but going, God, me... When am I going to see it? I know I'm anointed, but I'm just annoyed. Where is it? What is it? Show me what it is. God, I'm 26 years old, and I'm still single. Do you want me to go to heaven without a boo, Jesus? Like, where is he? Can you just make him show up? I need him. And he needs to be 6'4", tall, dark, and handsome, with abs, lots of abs, all the abs. Sis, that's not an anointing, that's a preference, okay? That's very different. Abs fade, holiness remains. Remember that. I'm not tapping abs right now. Every dad in the room is like, yeah, dad bods, unite. Dad bods aren't hot, by the way. I don't know where that came from. Anyways, what are we, Bible? We going to the Bible? Here's the thing. You can be anointed and you can be annoyed. And sister, if that's you, waiting on Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome, don't complain to the Lord that you missed your anointing, because there's a great 5'10" guy who's been walking by you all the time. 5'10" ain't bad, okay? If he's holy, say yes to dinner, all right? You don't need 6'4". 5'10" is just fine. I'm preaching tonight. 5'10" men everywhere rejoicing. But there is nothing more annoying than waiting on your anointing. So let's stop messing around and let's get to the Word of God. Let's get to the Bible. Probably the most famous instance of someone being anointed is a man named David. Anyone heard of David? Okay, there we go. We're going to talk about David tonight, but we're not talking about King David. We're talking about Shepherd Boy David right now. So we're going to get in the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 3 is going to come up on the screen in a moment, but you need some context here. There's a prophet named Samuel, okay? He's a great prophet. And the Lord, paraphrasing, Spark Notes, tells him, I'm done with Saul. There's going to be a new king. Go to the house of Jesse, and I am going to tell you who to anoint as the new king of Israel. Talk about being in a bad place. This is a hard job that Samuel has, okay? There's a current king that ain't going to be happy when you say that the Lord has anointed a new king. But Samuel is obedient. He goes to the house of Jesse, and he looks for Jesse's sons, just like the Lord has told him to do. And Jesse is excited. He brings out 7 sons. He brings out Eliab. He brings out Abinadab. He brings out Shema. He brings out 4 more. Those names are all available, by the way, pregnant ladies, if you're looking for a name. Guarantee you they're not taken. All 7. And the prophet goes, nope, nope. He got good hair, but he ain't it. Nope, 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 nope. Jesse, don't you have another son? The Lord isn't speaking to me. And Jesse goes, well, I have one more. But he's the youngest and he's out with the sheep. Surely you don't want Sheep Boy. That's not in the Bible, by the way, Sheep Boy, just to be very clear. He was shepherding the sheep. And he says, I'm not going to sit down until you bring David. Until you bring him. David comes in and the Lord speaks to the prophet right away. And the prophet anoints David. Here it is, verse 3. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, get this, in the presence of his brothers. This is little bro in front of his 7 brothers. He anoints him as king. Guess who those 7 brothers need to serve now? They would not have been very happy about this. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went on to his next assignment in Ramah. But see, now David has a problem, my friends, because he's been anointed king, but there's a current king. That's a problem that he has, and that wasn't his only problem. We jump ahead to chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17. Enter a mighty warrior named Goliath. Anybody heard of Goliath? A warrior 9 feet tall, the Bible describes him. This is not a guy to be messed with. Now comes Goliath, the Philistine, and he challenges Saul and his warriors and the nation of Israel. And he makes this wager that we're about to hear. In verse 8, Goliath says this, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Philistines were the historic enemies of the Israelites. And are you not the servants of Saul, the king at the time? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects, slaves. Okay? These are big stakes. The whole freedom of the nation is on this. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Verse 10, then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. That's some Christian cussing, if you're just wondering what that is. There's probably some other words said that didn't make it in the Bible at that moment. Goliath is talking smack about God's people and Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Verse 11, on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Give me a man, crickets. Nobody wants that beef. You lose that battle, and now your family goes into slavery to the Philistines. Nobody wants to take on that battle. Verse 12, now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Here we go, the anointed one. This must be his moment to shine. David, Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was very old. Verse 13, Jesse's 3 oldest sons got to follow Saul to the war. Eliab, Abinadab, Shema, they all get to go. Verse 14, David, the anointed one, was the youngest. The 3 older followed Saul. But David went back from Saul to tend to his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and every night and took his stand and mocked the nation of people. Did you hear what that verse said? David, the anointed one, stayed back with the sheep. Let me tell you something. If I'm David and I just get anointed by God to be the king of a nation, and the future of the nation that I'm going to govern hangs in the balance, and my brothers get to go fight, and I have to take care of sheep, I'm going to have a problem with that. I'd say, Dad, Jesse, I'm the anointed one. I get to go. I'm going to be king, yet there is no record anywhere in the book of Samuel of David speaking this way. David says yes, and David goes and cares for the sheep. Here's a question I have for you tonight. Do you ever feel like God has more for you? Do you ever feel like you're in a season that just seems so irrelevant? Students, you're like, why am I still in this program? I know God has more for me. Why am I still working this part-time job that feels like a dead end when the Lord has a career for me? Why am I 35 and still single? Where is my man? Where is my woman? Is there anyone who has ever felt that way? Like you're waiting on something. That is an annoying, frustrating season. The season of waiting. David now has to wait for 40 days, and then we're going to keep reading. We're getting there. It gets worse. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. Now Jesse comes back to his son David and says, take this ephah. That's a measurement. It's a lot. Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses. What? Cheeses? To the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are doing and bring back some assurances from them. Y'all, listen to me for a minute. The anointed one first has to do sheep daycare. And as if that's not bad enough, the anointed one just became Uber Eats. He's now got a DoorDash delivery. And it's cheese and bread. It's not even something good like chicken wings. The anointed one has to just go deliver food while his brothers get to be noble and stand at the front lines of the battle. Are you kidding me? But then something crazy happens, because this is how God will do it, and he'll do it in your life too. When he is being obedient, saying yes to his father, Jesse, his DoorDash appointment becomes a divine appointment. And he runs into the king. And Saul goes, I know that guy. He plays the harp for me. Y'all, if you're picking a warrior to fight a giant, you think you're picking a harp player? It's just not up there in the most intimidating things I've ever seen in my life. But now David gets an audience with the king. And David shoots his shot. What does he say? Verse 34, David says to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. That's kind of gangster. I'm not going to lie. When your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine, y'all, he's talking about his business now. This is some Christian trash talk. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. Why? Because he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. What a faith David has. And if you go on to keep reading, I can't read it all to you tonight or I'll keep you here till midnight. But finally Saul agrees and you know what he says to David? He says, Lord be with you. I think he said that because he knew David was going to be with the Lord very soon. He says, Lord, be with you. And he tries to set him up with his armor. And then David gets the chance to fight Goliath. And the miraculous occurs. You know the story from Sunday school. The warriors who were too terrified to go fight. See, they fought with swords and they fought with spears. Those were the weapons of David's day, of Saul's day. They looked at Goliath and they said, that man is too big. There is no way I could defeat him. But see, David didn't know how to fight with a sword. He didn't know how to fight with a spear. See, he didn't spend his time waiting in night school. He didn't spend his time in a king training program. He spent his time shepherding a sheep. He didn't know how to use a sword, but I'll tell you what he knew how to use, a sling. And friends, it's not like your felt pad VBS story, okay? It's not a little slingshot that he pulled back. This is a sling that you spin and can fire at over 100 kilometers an hour. And when soldiers looked at Goliath and said, he's too big to be defeated, David looked at Goliath and said, he's too big for me to miss. And he got his sling rolling, and he let go of that rock, and he hit David square in the head and took him out with one stone. Unbelievable. The miraculous happens. You know the story, but here's the thing that you've probably never thought about, because I didn't either until the Lord showed it to me. Where did David learn to use a sling with such precision? While he was saying yes to his father to take care of the sheep, doing the most mundane, unrelated, degrading job that there was. Y'all, we've glamorized being a shepherd, the good shepherd. Shepherd was a terrible position. You're cleaning up after animals. You're fighting off wild animals. But here's the thing. If David was being prepared the way that he probably thought he should be prepared to be a king, learning how to use a sword and learning how to use a spear, he would have had no chance of defeating Goliath. But because he was obedient to Jesse, his father, in the waiting season, he learned the one skill, the only skill that would take down the giant and save the nation of Israel. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to you. You might be in the Uber Eats season of life. You might be in the part-time job that feels like a dead end. You might feel like you're not doing it. You're annoyed right now. You're not anointed. You're not doing what God has called you to do. But what I came to tell you today is the waiting season is never wasted if you are obedient to your Father. The waiting season is never wasted. Friends, you never know how God will use a certain season of your life. Ephesians 1:11 says this. God says, I work all things according to the counsel of my will. He will work it into his plan, into your anointing, if you are being obedient to your Father, your heavenly Father, just like David was being obedient to Jesse. If David says no to Jesse, I'm not taking the food, he doesn't bump into Saul. He doesn't get to take down Goliath. He doesn't win the heart of a nation and save Israel. It's no good being king if there's no country anymore. It's incredible. His obedience precipitates his breakthrough. Friends, you are anointed. There is a purpose on your life, but here is your job in this season while you wait to say yes to your Father. God, I'll do it. Even if it doesn't look like what I thought it would look like, if you tell me to do it, I'll do it. It's the annoying part of being anointed. It's the hard part of being anointed, but here's the thing, your steps never look like your anointing. The steps, the training never looks like the final product. Your steps never look like your anointing, my friends. Anybody catching this? You catching this? You catching what I'm saying? Yes? The wait, my friends, that season, that annoying season, the W-A-I-T, the wait, is not wasted. God does not waste your time if you're being obedient to him. The wait that you are enduring right now is simply a setup so you can handle the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, of the anointing, the promise, the blessing, the call that God has on your life. The wait, W-A-I-T, is just a setup for the weight of your anointing. If you don't build the strength in the waiting room, in the annoying season, you will be crushed by your anointing. If David said no to the sheep, he gets killed by Goliath. What is it in your life right now that God has been calling you to do? And you're going, no, God, that can't be me. No, God, that's not for me. That's not my anointing. In fact, that's annoying. Here's what I came to tell you tonight. Say yes to your Father, because you never know how he will use it. You have a promise and a call of God on your life. I don't care if you're 16 in this room right now or 66. You're anointed and God has a promise and a call on your life. Anybody believe that? It's the truth. But the waiting never looks like the promise. Caring for sheep made David king. An Uber delivery made him the most famous warrior in all of Western history. You can't meet anyone that doesn't know the story of David and Goliath. How did it happen? All because he said yes to an Uber delivery. It's crazy. And then he got the opportunity to be brave and courageous, of course. But no sheep, no victory, no Uber, no divine appointment, my friends. I tell you this to encourage you. I know it doesn't make sense right now. I know you didn't plan for the divorce. I know you didn't plan for the breakup. I know you didn't plan for the loneliness. I know you didn't plan for the suffering. But not a minute is wasted by your God if you spend it in obedience to him. I know it doesn't look like the map that you drew up for your life. Some of you are 18 and it's already looking very different. Some of you are 70. You can't even remember the map you had for your life when you were 18 because it looks so different. You can barely remember the program you studied when you were in college because you're doing something totally different. But God has a purpose and a plan. See, here's the thing that you got to remember. Right now, today, you only see the piece, but he sees the whole puzzle. How foolish would it be if you spent your whole life, you can't even see it, it's so small, obsessing over one piece. God, I don't have it. God, where is it? God, I need it. And then you start doing something worse. You start comparing that one little piece to what someone else has. God, how come they have this and I don't have this? But here's the thing, you don't see the puzzle. This is one piece from my 2-year-old's puzzle set. It has 1,000 pieces. From looking at this one piece, I could never guess what the photo is. But the devil, here's what I really came to tell you. The devil will come for you while you're waiting. The devil sees an opportunity in the waiting season. See, while you wait, he thinks he has an opportunity. Because here's the thing about the devil. The devil didn't put the anointing on your life, so he can't take it away. Someone should be thankful for that. The devil did not put the anointing on your life, so he is powerless to stop it. He cannot stop the promises of God on your life. If anyone tells you different, it's a lie. But he can do one thing. He can get you so annoyed that you walk out on it, that you give up on it. That you say, I can't wait anymore. And he uses tools. I tell you, the one thing he loves to use more than anything else is comparison. Who's got a phone? Someone hold up your phone real quick. Come on, you've been texting during my message. I saw you. Hold it up. Hold it up. Do you know that the average person spends 12% of their day? This was a study done in North America 2 years ago. 12% of their day in direct comparison. That's almost 3 hours of your day. That you're looking at him or looking at her and wondering why you don't have what they have. Or comparing what you have to what they have. Almost 3 hours a day. And phones, Instagram, TikTok has made that worse than ever. It has accelerated it at a crazy rate. But here's the thing, my friends. You can't compare the seed that God has planted in your life with the mighty oak tree you see of another one's life. Because at one point that oak tree was a seed too. But if you spend your whole time looking at their tree so that you're not watering your seed, now the devil has a chance to win. Now the devil can come in and get you annoyed enough and distracted enough. The devil, my friends, is a liar. The devil is a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44 says this. Put it up on the screen. John chapter 8, verse 44. Okay, it might not come up on the screen. That's okay, I know it. He says that the devil is the father of lies. All he knows how to do is lie. Lying is his native language, John says. Hold on and think about that for a minute. Someone should be excited about that because the devil has been telling you lies. The devil has been telling you things like you're too old. God can't use you anymore. You're too young. You think you can do that? Who do you think you are? You're too weak. You're not strong enough. My friends, if the devil is telling you that you are not going to make it, you should start rejoicing the Lord with everything you have. You know why? Because all he can do is tell a lie. The opposite of what he says is the truth. So the next time the doctor tells you you're not going to make it, put your hands up and praise God. Say, wow, I'm going to make it. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because I have a good father who loves me and cares for me. And I will not buy into the lies of the devil. Friends, if you hear nothing else I say tonight, this is what I came to tell you. Don't waste your life away, day after day, night after night, stressing about the outcome. How is this situation going to work out? How am I going to get through tomorrow? Will I be lonely forever? Will I be held by the chains of this addiction until the day that I die? God, what and how are you going to use me? I know I'm anointed, but what is it? I'm just annoyed right now. Don't waste your life worrying about the outcome. Hear me if you hear nothing else I say. Your job is not the outcome. Your job is obedience to your Father. And if you can be obedient to your father today, just like David was obedient to his father Jesse, then my, oh my, you just wait for your divine appointment because it's coming. Hear this. Hear this. Obedience is your job. The outcome is the Lord's job. That will change your life because now when you go through each day, instead of stressing about tomorrow, there's only one question to ask. Lord, am I being obedient to you today? If the answer to that question is yes, then the outcome is in his hands. And let me tell you, brother and sister, those are good hands to have the outcome of your life in. You may not know the next page of your story, but you know the author. And the author is good, and he is for you, and he loves you. Stop spending your life wasting away worried about the outcomes. Our job is obedience while we wait. David, man, David should have had a doctorate in waiting. You may say, preacher, I like your little story, but he only had to wait 40 days to go fight Goliath. 40 days ain't that bad. David waited a whole lot longer than 40 days, my friends. David waited 15 years from the day that he was anointed until he was crowned king. And he was only crowned king of Judah. His anointing was to be king of all of Israel. 22 years until he saw his entire anointing come to fruition. 22 years David had to wait. And by the way, he wasn't taking care of sheep. For those first 15 years, he was a fugitive of the law. He was being hunted down by Saul. And here he had Saul at a point where he could kill him and end the hunt and be king right away. But his father said, wait. And you know what he said? Yes. And after he cut the robe, he walked away. And he waited on the Lord. He was obedient today, and he left the outcome in the Lord's hands. What happened? He would become king for 40 years, the greatest king that the nation of Israel has ever seen. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come from his lineage. That is the type of testimony that comes with a waiting that is paired with wild obedience. I'm not worried about what tomorrow's going to look like so long as I'm serving God today. But I tell you, there are days in my life where I know I'm not being obedient to God. That is when I'm stressed. Because now I'm taking the outcome and I'm putting it in my own hands. Obedience is our job. The outcome is our Father's job. Would you stand to your feet because we have more worship for you? Jonathan, you can play those keys and make me sound more spiritual. Thank you. Friends, the waiting period seldom, if ever, looks like the promise, the anointing. But what you do while you wait on the Lord is everything. You can be like Ryan McVitie and look at waiting as just an annoyance. Or you can be like David and go, Father, if you tell me to wait here with your sheep, I'll do it. Because I trust that this waiting is a preparation for the weight of the promise, anointing, and call on my life. The waiting season, my friends, is everything. David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 14, he said, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. It takes bravery and courageousness to wait. And he says it again, yes, wait patiently on the Lord. I'm not going to see you for the next 6 weeks. And that breaks my heart because I love you. And some of you are waiting already. I'm not talking about another season of the river. No, I mean something much more serious than that. Some of you are waiting for the doctor to finally say that you're healed. Someone back there, that's your story. I hear you. Someone is waiting on your husband to come home and to come back. Someone is waiting for wisdom. God, do I stay in this degree program or do I leave it? Because I got them telling me this and I got them telling me that. God, I don't know. All of you are waiting on something. But while you wait, don't waste a single minute. Obey your Father with what He's telling you to do right now. Maybe that means getting back into the Word of God. Maybe that means going to a Sunday church again that you haven't gone to for a long time because that was just your grandma's church and you don't do that. I want the gangster river where I worship like this. It's not gangster. Look at me. I don't know what your act of obedience is, but I tell you, the way faith is built is step by step. So we're going to worship again now. We have more songs for you. The best worship's always after the word. But I hope your prayer can be simple to God. God, show me how to obey you now as I wait. I don't need to know her name. I don't need to know the degree program. I don't need to know how much money I'll make from the career or when I'll finally be able to buy the house, because this is Toronto and man, it's crazy out here. I don't need to know all of that. God, I just need to know, how can I serve you right now? It takes a wild step to take your first one, but I promise you this, after you take one, God will show you the other. He is a light onto your feet and a lamp onto your path. As you step, He will show. When you go, He will go too. He is your brother. He stays with you. He won't leave you or forsake you. The waiting is never wasted if we are obedient to our God. Because His promises on your life, they're simple. They are yes, and they are amen. You know what amen means? You know what amen means? It means it is so. If God spoke it, it shall be. There's nothing the devil that can do to stop it. The only one that can stop it is you. Me. We don't like this kind of preaching. We like holy forever. Me too. The only one that can stop the anointing is you. So pray to the Lord right now as we worship Him. Thank Him that He has made a promise on your life. And take hold of that promise. Say, God, even though I don't know what tomorrow holds, I know who holds tomorrow. So give me peace. What shall we gain by worrying about tomorrow? For today has enough worries of its own. Show me how to obey you, Father. Order my steps.
Thank you.